Well, I'd appreciate your prayer. I recently ran onto something that asked the question, what is success? Well, to the world's idea, there's success in many ways. Some people would look at someone that made millions of dollars as being successful, and I guess in a way that can be success. Or someone that maybe become very popular, that could be successful, or maybe president of the United States or something like that. But the definition that was given of success is to set a goal and achieve it, or be on the way to achieving it.
All right. Amen.
So the question today would be, do you have a goal? Because you have to have a goal, and one of the things that they were saying about the success that's necessary for the success is passion.
Yes.
Right.
You need a goal with passion.
Yes, that's
right.
And when you achieve that or on the way to achieving that, that is what the definition of success is. So Lord, help us.
Yes.
What is the goal?
Yes.
Do we have a goal?
Right.
Yeah. Want to start with Matthew, the 22nd chapter, familiar verse. To those that set a goal of something as simple as saying, I want to be a school teacher. I've known many that's done it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But they did. They set the goal. And some here may have been school teachers, and bless you for it. But to achieve that and be a teacher, to set the goal and achieve it, cost something.
Yes.
It took something to do it. And to those that really wanted that, that had a passion to be a teacher,
yes,
they become a teacher.
Yes.
And it is counted success no matter what house they live in, or no matter how much money they make from it. If that goal was that I want to be a person that influences other people and teaches them, and they get to that place, that is a measure of success.
Yes.
Or you may say, I want to learn how to be an auto mechanic, and I want to be a good one. I want to understand this, and it'll cost you something to do it. You aren't born with it. You know, I find that most people that are haphazard or indifferent about the things in their life don't accomplish anything.
Right.
Or very, very little. When I was a young man, I was in surveying. I can't say it was a passion of mine. I needed to make money, and I got a job doing it. And I done it to a certain level. But I ran on to a man, he became a friend of mine, and eventually he became my boss for a number of years. But he started off as a young man wondering what he wanted to do with life, and he didn't know exactly what he wanted to do, so he kind of decided that he was going to be an English teacher. But he didn't have much passion towards it, to be honest with you. He was a very gifted mind. I believe that he could have done about anything that he had wanted to do. He could have accomplished it. So he went to school and become a majored in English, and he done those things. And he got out of school with his major, and he said, I don't want to do this all my life. I mean, all my life with it. No, I don't want to do this. And so he decided that he wanted to be a surveyor. He wanted to get into and so he went and he became a surveyor. He had the intelligence for it, for sure, and he became a surveyor. And his goal, he wanted to have his own business. Now, when he said that he wanted to have his own business, that wasn't just an indifferent statement. This man sacrificed. When we would get through with the cold night, sometime come out of the coal mines and we'd do that, I would go home to a warm, you know, winter nights up there are cold. I'd go home to a warm house.
Yes.
He would go to a cellar top with cracks that you could see outside and try to kindle him up a fire because he could. He was putting everything into the business, all the money, all the extras. He wasn't going to rent anything. The little cellar top was a part of a property he bought that had an office on it for his business. And he had a goal and a passion and a desire that I'm going to establish my own business. And he sacrificed all of his living so he could buy a new instrument that we needed. Or a new vehicle that we needed for the business, or something for the business, all that. He went into the business, and he ate meagerly, and he would go in and get in a cold, cold room and pull the stuff up and covers over him, and he lived that way. I don't have a business. You want to know why? I never had no business. I wasn't going to have that business. You know what? I ain't going to go do that. But he had passion. Do you not understand that he, there was no doubt about what that man's desire was.
Right.
I didn't doubt it.
Right.
The other guys didn't doubt it. His family didn't doubt it. He proved 100% what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Totally proved it. So here's a scripture for you. 22nd of Matthew. Oh, let's see, 30. Okay, 35. Let's go to 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, if you're not challenged by this as a Christian, I mean, this is premier right here. This is it. This is the great commandment that we walk life with. Now, I wouldn't say or to pretend to say that anybody would be unsaved in their journey for what they're doing at all in any place. But I do want to say that just as this friend of mine proved what he was going to do, it ought to be evident in the Christian life about what's the most important thing in my life. This scripture says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all of that, it ought to be evident that God is first in my life. It ought to be evident that this is what's most important to me. This goes above everything. It goes beyond my success in business. It goes beyond my success in life. It goes beyond my success. Everything. It goes beyond my family. It goes beyond everything. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I have pondered before and wondered, and I'll put this out there, as the idea to say, why wouldn't I want to be known as Christian? If I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, Linda can testify, my wife can testify, we went a lot of places, different places, and the number of people that I've had come up to me and say, strangers, and say to me, where do you go to church at? I never said I went to church anywhere. What makes you think that somebody that looks like me and my wife and my children, what would ever make you think that we went to church somewhere? What would make you think that we're Christians? Well, I never say that, of course, because I know the answer to the question. But my overall question is if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, why wouldn't you want to be that billboard for the Lord? Why wouldn't you want to represent the Lord? Why wouldn't it call some carefulness? It ought to call some carefulness in our life, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Linda and I, we was in the shopping mall or in the Walmart one day, and I was going along, and Linda was pushing the cart behind me, and she clipped me on the heels. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever been clipped with the buggy on the heels, back of the heels, And I did my normal reaction, which was... that was my normal reaction. So I do my normal reaction. But now, wait a minute. We don't look like everybody else looks. So when I did that, it was... I don't know what exactly it was. But when I did that, because it wasn't a big noise, it wasn't nothing that drew the attention, but when I did that and I looked back around, it was like everybody's head in the aisle turns around and looks at us. And it came to my mind so clearly, you better be careful, you look holy. You're representing something here. There's something here. The goal that we have, right? The goal that we have is to represent Jesus.
Yes.
This is one time back years ago, Brother Kimball was going to hold a tent meeting in Tuscaloosa, and I was taking the old tent truck, to Tuscaloosa to meet up with Brother Kimball down there. And the old tent truck, if those that remember it, the old tent truck, you remember the old gray silver box? It had Isaiah 55 and 6 on it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Church of God Ministry, I believe, said on it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And here I am driving down the road, right? I'm driving down the road with this big box on there that says that. And some people would come by and beep the horn and go. And other people wasn't so kind. They made a gesture, but it wasn't that one. There was, I got all of it. And as I was going down the road, I was thinking, boy, I can't hide now. I can't. There ain't no pretending anything right now. I'm going down with a billboard there that says Church of God Ministry, seek ye the Lord. Going down there. But you know, our lives are supposed to mean something. When we have a goal, what's the goal represented in here to say, I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. What he wants is what we would want, right? This was the goal, the passion would be to put Christ, give Christ out to the world, to be able to, wherever we go, whatever we do, loving the Lord thy God. Folks, this is about a passion. To succeed in a goal, you got to have passion. You're going to have passion to get there and to be able to do it. We've stayed up in the hotel the last couple of days, and for some of you may know that there's a big rivalry game was yesterday between Texas and Oklahoma. It was a big game. For those that do it, it's a huge deal. Right. Well, it's a huge deal up there. And you know what? I like to talk to people, so if I saw somebody come with a big OU on there, I'd say, go Longhorns! Well, when I seen a big T sign, big Tick Texas shirt, I'd say, go Sooners! It started a conversation. They wasn't caring about what they was representing. These were passionate people. I got to talking to them, and they was down for the game. They was into it. They was down for the game, and they wanted everybody to know. They're Texas. It's Longhorn fans. We're Longhorn fans. I don't say we're OU fans. And it was obvious.
Yes.
Because there was a passion and a desire.
Yes.
You know what is a danger to our time as Christians? Lethargy.
Yes.
And indifference.
Oh,
and being so well and so blessed and so well off that you don't have a strive or strain. You know, there's a real problem with being able to succeed, to really succeed when there's not a real passion, when there's not a real desire to see the things of God. Because you can tell when somebody's really passionate about something, it'll come out.
Yes.
You can see the passion, the desire, you can see it come out. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. David was a man that was after God's own heart. Oh, he wasn't a perfect man. He had his problems and all there. But the idea that he was after God's heart. He, He wanted to promote God's things. He wanted to promote. He was after God's heart. And he was a man after God's. God recognized this about him. He was human, and he had the problems with humans. But he had a desire and a burden that the things of God beyond him, that God would be exalted, that the armies of God and the cause of God would be exalted. He loved the Lord.
Yes.
See, in 1 Samuel, this is such a familiar, I won't read it, just comment a little bit on it, but it's all in 1 Samuel. And the story, of course, is when the children of Israel, the Philistines had kind of come into their borders, and the Israel had mounted up a defense against the Philistines coming in, and they come out there, and the setting seems to be there's a rise over here, and the Philistines are there, and then and over here in the rise there's the armies of Israel there, and here's their two armies, and they're pitted against one another, and so Jesse comes and says to David, his youngest son, David, go up. And go see how your brothers are doing. Go up and see how the battle goes. See what's going on up there. So David goes up, and when he gets up there, he looks, and there's this great, great giant, this great Philistine champion comes out there. He's nearly 10 foot tall, and he's a man of war, and he's vicious, and he comes out there into the middle, looks out like into the middle of the valley, and his voice thunders, no doubt, if you give me liberty, send a man. Send a man down here. Come fight with us. So you send your champion, and I'll be champion here. And whoever wins, the other side will be slaves, and we won't have to go through the carnage. Just come on, and we'll have the battle. And he comes out, and he's coming out every day. Coming out every day. And the armies of Israel, the great army of Israel, how did they get to this kind of a place? Lord, help. How did they get to this kind of an indifference? How did they get to this kind of a place to where they come out there, and who's going to care? Who's willing to give themselves? Who's willing to do something? Who's going to set a goal and reach it?
Right.
Nobody here. Man, he's a big guy. David comes up. What's David have? What's David's got? He's got a passion, and he's got a goal. The goal is God to be glorified. I want to glorify God. I want God's name to be lifted up. God has proven himself in our history. I can't help from thinking that David, I believe it's true that David knew the stories. He knew his lineage. He knew. I think they sat around the campfires and Jesse told the stories to his sons. I think they had passed it down. I think David knew about the city, the walls of Jericho falling. He knew about Joshua. He knew about Gideon. He knew about Caleb. He knew about these men. He knew about crossing the Red Seas and the armies that fell before him and the great victories God had given, and he believed them. Why not? He believed them. I think maybe he went up there with the idea, I'm going to go up and see what God's going to do. Yeah. God's working, and the armies of the living God are up there, and nobody can defeat the armies of the living God. And he gets up there, and he said, wait a minute, brother. That's not the way the story is told. Dad didn't tell the story like this. He didn't tell it that we're cowing down from some enemy. He never told the story that God lost. He never told it that way. This is going to be a bad story to tell down through our history. This story can't end like this. And with a goal in mind. You know, he had a goal, and his goal wasn't that David be king, and it wasn't that David be honored and that David be lifted up. The goal was that God be glorified, that God be lifted up, and that the inhabitants of the land will know that there is a God in Israel, that the living God is who you need to serve. Well, you know the story, but he comes up and he's passionate. He's passionate about his goal. And you know, when you're passionate about something, you talk about it.
Yes.
You know, we do pretty much what we want to.
That's right.
Now, I've told these stories before, but we do what we want to. I come home from work one time. I worked in surveying. I think it was coal mines and all that. I come back. This was years ago with my first wife, and I come home, and I had this little dog that I had been training to be a squirrel dog. And these squirrel dogs are amazing. They can hear these squirrels and they'll bark, you know, these squirrels up trees. It's real fun. He's a young dog. But anyway, I come home from work and my wife says, I want to go visit Mom this evening. And I'm like, visit Mom? I've worked all day. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, I was wore out. There wasn't an ounce of energy in me. Oh, I'm wore out. And I said, I worked all day. And she said, oh, I've been here all day. Why are you going to Mom's? And wouldn't you know it, that dog of mine had to start barking up on the hill up there. You can't train a dog and not go to him. That's what it's all about. He barks, you go to him. He's barking to get you to go to him. And he starts barking up that hill. And you know, as tired as I was wore plumb out. I went up a hill. Because I had a goal. And I had passion. I had a goal to train that dog. And I had passion to do it with. And passion drove me up the hill. And better sense made me come back down and go to Mom's. You have the energy. Now, come on. Are you really totally wore out? I mean, I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired of that. No, there's a hindrance most of the time in the passion.
Yes.
Because passion take me on top of the mountain up there. Passion will drive me beyond that. Passion will make me absolutely drive myself to ridiculous ends sometimes when I got a passion to do it. Passion will cause you to pay tickets for football games, outrageous amount of money to do it if you got passion enough to do it. Passion will make you sit in the parking lot from the time the morning starts to do it. I was up there, I've told this many times, but up there at Guthrie one time, and it was in football season, I suppose, a revival or something up there. Anyway, I turned the radio on and announcer says, oh, it's a sea of red out here. I was out there. They was out at the... No, it was 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, they're having a football game. They probably have a kickoff at 12 today. And the announcer goes on and says, you know, something like, we'll see you back here at 6, kickoff time. And the people was already out. It was out there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Getting ready for it because they had passion. They had passion. It'll drive you to some crazy things. Man, young guys will travel all the way across this country for a girl. Well, I mean, you might get tired of not going to church, but you ain't too tired to take across the country. I mean, when she's over there, she's... And you know what I'm talking about, guys. It's a passion and a desire. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength will make you want to look like that one that everybody knows when you walk into the Walmart. They can't see inside me. Man looks on the outward appearance. But listen, man looks on the outward appearance. You don't need to witness to God. He knows. You're witnessing to the people around it. Most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing that I do. Children used to say, do we have to go to church? I said, when we get to. That was my pat answer was always, we get to. Now, did I always feel that in my heart? No. I didn't always, but it still was the answer. We get to. It's a privilege to get to do it. Lord, help us be able to do it. So David's here in this situation, right? He goes up and he sees that something stirs in this brother. He can't get by with that. That isn't the story that's going to be told to the generation. That can't be. God be glorified. We got to have more passion and more desire than that. Yes. And he says, I mean, he comes out and says it, stirs up all these big men, this little ready boy, stirring them all up to say, what are you naughty, your hearty brother? Say, what are you up here? We know that you come up here to see a battle. You come up here to do it. And here was his answer. You can find it at 29th there. He comes and says, and this is the way he did it. He looks to this side and said, pleading almost, I think. Is there not a cause? Then he says to this side, is there not a cause?
Right.
Stir us up. Is there not a cause? Is it? Aren't we living? Aren't we living for something that's bigger than we are? Aren't we living for something to go on? If we can give our lives for this to be available to the next generation, is it not something valuable? Is it not a suggestion to the Lord that I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that I'll give whatever I need to give to be able for this to go on? This is more important than I am. It's more important than the things around. Lord, we want this to go on. We want it. And what would we sacrifice, or what would we give to it? He risked something there to show his passion and his desire. But God was with him. And you know, when he went down there, he didn't go down there and thinking David's going to be a great man when this is over. I'm telling you, David's going to be living. No, he went down there and he said, it ain't about that. I come in the name of the Lord. It don't matter about all this. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. That's what I'm coming down here with. It's going to be the Lord that give me the deliverance. It's going to be God's victory. And it's going to go out through the history that God delivers. And that God is able. And you can trust in God when you face your giants. Have we ever used David's example in our own lives? Hasn't his passion been delivered to us that we say, yes, I can take on that giant because, yeah, he's bigger than me. I don't see a possible way, but God's going to give me the deliverance right here. He did David, and he'll do it for me. And then you remember the story. David had these mighty men. It's one of my favorite stories. Actually, some of my children used to say, Daddy, are you going to preach that about David? I mean, said about, I used it a lot, but that's what you get when you have a family like this. It's one of my favorite stories, though. There were these mighty men, and they was loyal to David. They had given David their lives. We are your servants, King David. It's all in a type. And David, the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem, city of David. And David is out in the, and he says, oh, that I could have a drink of the well that's at Bethlehem. Obviously, David had drunk of the well. He knew what it was like to pull up. I imagine they was out there for days in my imagination. But they had these goat skins, and that water sloshed around in there for days, and it's 100 degrees, and it sloshed around there, and they're, oh, I'm thirsty. Okay. I'd like to have a drink from deep, that well down there. He never ordered. He never commanded. He longed. And his men said, it was like, your wish is my command. You don't have to browbeat me to love the Lord thy God with all thy whole soul, heart, mind, and strength. Yes. Means that all I need to know is that it pleases you. I don't need to go through a bunch of hurdles. I don't need to go jumping through hoops. All I need to know that this is a pleasing place with you. I would suggest to everybody in here that has a passion for it to always say this. When you run into something in the Word of God, at least always say, it means something. Lord, help me find what it means. Yes. Don't dismiss the Word of God. It says a lot of things and has a lot of things in there that give us the heart of God and how we ought to feel about this kind of thing. Don't dismiss it. Because your wish is my command. And these mighty men, all that, I mean, you read about them. These were mighty men. And three of these mighty men, I think there were 30 of them in my memory, but three of these mighty men went down there. Three. There's a whole garrison down there. It never said there was a battle. There wasn't no battle. Because these mighty men went down there, in my mind anyway, they went down there, if you'll give me liberty, they went down there with such determination and grit, and they said, if you let us have water, we won't kill you. If you give us water, you can save some bloodshed here, all we want is some water. And they went down, and in my mind, they backed away from the well and let them get in the water, and they took the water to David without his command. They risked their life. They gave all to bring this water to David. And when they presented it to David, out of love and appreciation and love for the king, And they did it because they wasn't commanded it, and they done it with their heart. And he recognized that they had sacrificed their life in type. They had given themselves for a simple drink of water. David said, I am not worthy to be treated that way. As a man, I am not worthy of that kind of a homage. I can't help these men. I can't do anything for them eternally. I can't bless them. I can't do anything for them. And so I'm going to give this to the one that can. And he took this cold water, this water that was drew by these men's loving hands, and he took it and he gave it, oh Lord, you are worthy to drink.
Amen.
And he poured it out for to God, because his love and admiration for God was the same as his men's admiration for him. He recognized it and he gave it to the one that was worthy. And no doubt we look on to that, and can we say, did David love the Lord? Absolutely, he had a heart for God. He sacrificed. It doesn't say that he said, okay, it didn't say he took a sip or nothing. He wasn't worthy of the sip. You're going to give it to the one that's able.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes it gets down, folks, very close in our lives. 1 Corinthians I'm not sure. I think 1 Corinthians 6 maybe. Yeah, there's where I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to go back and read it from the first verse. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertaineth to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother, go to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Have you ever considered that scripture and what he's saying there? If you have a goal and a passion for the things of God to be exalted, for people that, why would you damage it? Why would you dare risk damaging it? If you had the passion and desire and that was your cause and purpose, why wouldn't you suffer the wrong for God's sake? Did Christ suffer wrong for us? What did Christ suffer any humiliation for us? Was he talked about for us? Did he suffer any pain for us? Did he go through, was he called Beelzebub for us? What could he have done? But yet he suffered the wrong for us to glorify God and show us what it was. And yet sometimes it's so hard for us to even put aside a slight. But I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But why then would you allow the church to be talked about? Why would you allow God to be, Jesus to be? Why would you allow that? Why wouldn't you rather in your heart? Why wouldn't you in your heart, a real heart matter? Why wouldn't you in your heart say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's going to be harmful for the cause that I'm trying to do. That's going to be harmful. You know, I heard a thing. I don't want to get off in the weeds here with psychology, but I really believe this was true. I heard a guy talking about asking why people believed what they did and to believe what was wrong, and how do you help somebody that believes something that's wrong? And the guy answered. I thought it was a really a wise answer. He said, well, one thing that you can never do is to combat it. You can't come and combat it, because what that does, it causes a person to drive it deeper. People will justify, they will think, and they will justify and go deeper and deeper as you try to talk it out. That as more you attack, the more deeper it's going to go. So he said the way that you have to do it, and it's the only way to do it, he says, and again, I say I don't want to go too far off in that, but he said the only way to do it is to listen to them and ask the right questions at the right time, until they ask the question and realize what they're saying isn't working for them. Then when they come to the point, you don't drive it deeper, you work it out. Okay? If I really, my cause is really to help somebody, not the feel-good thing about how I've made somebody something, but how the real idea is that we genuinely want them to find Christ. Yeah. It's the answer. I mean, I can get into every details. I mean, we can make laws, and we should. Well, I mean, is our land of laws and those kind of things, and I'm against the abortion and those kind of things. But do you know, even those laws don't transform anybody. The real answer, I'm for those, but the real answer is the transformation until they wouldn't want to do that. The transformation in all these things. You can argue and drive them deeper, but the idea is to show Christ. And Christ can pull it out. Lord, help us. Why wouldn't you rather be defrauded? Why wouldn't you rather be assumed that you were wrong? Just take the wrong. Why wouldn't you do that? If you really cared, if you really was, this is suggesting, Lord, help us to have a goal and a passion for the goal. Yes. The goal is to exalt Christ. Yes. That's why I remember the lady one time asked us, said, where do you go to church? And I talked to her a little bit, and she said something like, I used to dress kind of like you all's dressing, but I don't really feel like it's necessary. I ain't taking her salvation from her. It ain't my job.
Right.
That's God. I hope she is. My heart, because that's my goal. I don't have no conflict here. My goal is that you're saved. No, you are. I'm not going to try to. That's not me.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
But what I remember thinking, if you love the Lord like you say you do, why wouldn't you want everybody to look at you and say, you're a Christian? I know we have these things, but Lord, help us. That's the goal. That's what we're trying to represent. Yes. I want the world to know. And you know, there is Bible for that. There's Bible for the modest, humble life. There's for a woman professing godliness. There's Bible for those things. This is a witness for really. I remember one time seeing the Charleston Gazette, and on the front page of the one section, whether I was one of the sections of the Charleston Gazette, they had a full-page picture there of the citywide yard sales. Right? They had a picture there. And there must have been, I don't know, I'd say 20 people probably in the picture. And right in the middle of the picture, kind of there, there was a godly woman. I don't know her heart. I'm saying there was somebody that I said, when I looked at the picture, half of them or all of them could go to church. I have no idea. But I looked and said, I think that if you would have widely said, I'll give you $1 million, everybody around, I'll give you $1 million. If you can pick out, I want to get the fraud out of it. If you can pick out the one that goes to church in this picture, I think everybody would say, her. Because she goes. You know what I'm saying? A witness for the Lord. There's another scripture in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 13th chapter. Lord help us to have passion for the Lord.
Yeah.
The 14th verse of the 13th chapter says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took the bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thy hand on the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now, there are some points in this scripture. He prophesied to the king with the arrow that was shot that this is the arrow of God's deliverance. Now, this is the arrow of his deliverance. To utterly, utterly consume the Syrians. All right, that was it. Now, that's God's part. Now, we're going to look to see what your part is. Here's the promise. The promises is always a twofold thing.
Yeah.
God said, I'll be your God if you'll be my people. Right. So I'm only the God of how much you are my people. Right. You ain't much of my people, I ain't much of your God. There's a relative answer here. He said, I'm going to smite it. Here's the arrow. You got the deliverance. I'm answering you.
Yes.
Take these arrows now, according to you, and smite the ground. Now, I know God knows everything, and the intent had to be relative here. Right? He takes these arrows. The man of God has said, that's all you're going to put into it. There's a goal, and that's all the passion you have. He said, here's it is. Take the arrows and hit that. And he should have wore the fletchings off of those things. He should have pounded them things till they was toothpicks flying. He should have pounded it. We're going to do this. We're going to do it by God's help. We're going to do it. I got some passion. I got some desire. I'm going to win this thing. Yeah, problems come. You have setbacks. You have all these things. But Lord, if you'll give us the victory, we'll go to the farthest extent of whatever. I remember when the Lord called me to a full-time ministry back years and years ago, working a surveying company. It felt like the Lord called me to that. And you know how humans are about these kind of things. It was a challenge. It was a challenge. I was pretty close to going on to be licensed. I was doing some of the licensing stuff. I've been a licensed surveyor. Went on with what I was going to do in life. Lord called me away from that and wanted me to do this full time. And so I kind of sat down and started figuring up what it would take. I mean, you know, I had a family and all this stuff and all that. And it didn't add up. It didn't add up until you put God in the equation. I mean, it didn't add up. None of the figures added up anyway. We're going to do that and all that. And I remember telling the Lord, now, Lord, I know you want me to do this. Yes, Lord. And I remember thinking, I'll sell my deer rifles if I have to. I'll sell my house and move to small if I have to. I ended up committing to the Lord all the stuff to say, Lord, you want me to do this? I'm all in. I've never had to do any of it. God was faithful. But the desire and the passion to get the goal. This is the goal. This is the goal. And Lord, what do I have to do to get to this goal? I'm going to have to hit the ground with some passion and some desire here. Do you know, really, we get out of what, if we want to be a success, this is the recipe for success. That I set a goal. You know what? Heaven's a goal, but it's on the way too. And you know, glorifying God is a goal. Getting other people to respond is a goal. Glorifying God, lifting up God, that's a goal that we have. And as long as we're passionate and desirous of those things, it's going to work. God's going to bless it. David had passion. David had all he had, but David can't kill a giant, folks. David had the passion to do what the Lord wanted done, but David wasn't going to conquer no giant without the Lord. And he went down there with his passion and with his goal, and God, and he flung the stone too. He picked the stones. He flung the stone. It was God that took down the giant.
That's right.
That was the victory right there. David never jumped up and said he was great. He said God delivered him into my hands. God had given him and done it, and God was glorified. And the goal was met. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is there not a cause today? Is there a cause? Do you have a cause? What is our great cause? You know, I know there's side notes, and we're in an election year and all those kind of stuff. Folks, that's as important that it's going to be. It's side note stuff. I'm sorry, it's side note stuff, because no matter what happens, God is still God.
Amen.
God is still in control. God, no matter what you wake up with Wednesday morning, God is on his throne. And that's what I count on. I count on God being on his throne. And God's going to keep us because he promised to keep us. He's going to help us. And right in the middle, you know, sometimes our ideas about how to glorify God's wrong anyway. Sometimes God put the stress on so he can come out looking. You know what I'm saying? Remember the time that Gideon could have took a big army down there, and God said, too many. Well, there's too many. You can't get too many. Yes, Gideon, you can get too many for this, because you think you've done something, so let's get it down some. So we'll whittle it down, and all of a sudden we go down from 30 or down to 10,000, whatever it is, and all of a sudden, how you get it down, and all of a sudden, 300? There's 180,000, come on, 100,000 people. You got 300?
Yeah.
You won't be saying how great you are at the end of this one. You're going to be saying how great God is. You're going to be saying what a great deliverance God did when you get through with this one. God is good and God is great. Lord, help us. The success that I want everybody to be successful.
Yes.
I remember something Brother Clifford Wilson said years ago, said about people that you might feel like is not living to the right standard or whatever it was. He said, if they can get there cheaper than me, I hope they can. I hope they, you know, that's a right heart.
Yeah.
I ain't for them not, I hope you do, brother. I hope it makes it. I hope that works for you. I really hope that, because you know what? That's part of my goal. That's part of my cause.
Yeah.
Part of my cause is to show the love of God.
Yeah.
Lord, help us today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.